Welcome to episode 9 of the Cannabis Maker Podcast. We're here again. We've got a wonderful board of guests with us this evening. We've got David, Corey, Katie, Finn, Caleb, Rokas, Jared, and Mr. Q. And I think today it's all about origins and why you're here, why you're doing what you're doing. Before we get started on today's session of the Cannabis Maker Podcast, we're going to take a quick second to give a shout out to our sponsors. Today's episode is self-sponsored by Nordic Herbzone. Nordic Herbzone is Norway's first cannabis and hemp brand and works with the best medical cannabis doctors, pharmacists, and patients to provide more information and access to medical cannabis patients in Norway and Europe. If you're interested in a medical cannabis prescription and want to find out more, head to NordicHerbzone.com. 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 Katie, I think we should start with you. How are you doing? What's up, Katie?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm Katie. I've been a part of the green scene here in Michigan since 2009. And how I got into the cannabis industry was I was a very sick individual. I was 22 years old and I was in a pain clinic. And my ex, he said, you know, we got to get you a medical marijuana card. I had never tried marijuana recreationally. It wasn't my thing, but I was in a lot of pain. They couldn't figure out why. I was diagnosed with, you know, all these different autoimmune disorders. I tried cannabis, and it was like a lifesaver for me. It was like a whole new world. I was able to wean off of all the opiates, go on cannabis, and it changed my life. So then I realized that, like, the only way, like, legalization became my job. So in 2009, I joined Repeal Today, which was like a political action committee to decriminalize cannabis. I've worked with multiple organizations over the years, MI Legalize, End Prohibition. There's been multiple ones, but for years, I mean, I was that crazy lady with the clipboard trying to collect your signature to legalize pot. I took it with me everywhere. I also found out I had a green thumb, and I started to grow, and I supplied some of the first dispensaries here in Michigan until, you know, everyone started getting shut down, and then I had my own legal issues to battle. For years I was on probation. I would even take the legalization forms to, like, the drug testing facilities, and I would get everyone in line to sign the petition, and I would send them home with petitions to have their loved ones, you know, fill out the form. Like I said, I made it my job. And I use cannabis to, you know, maintain homeostasis. And, you know, but for years I suffered with chronic health issues. Find out it was my breast implants making me very, very sick. People in my condition had cancer or HIV. I was so sick from my breast implants. And if it weren't for my friends in the cannabis community that donated oil to me, and they kept me alive until I was able to get the implants out. So I'm super passionate about what I do now, which is working with Michigan Sports Network to put ads for cannabis on mainstream media. So I'm, for the first time, you know, we're able to put pro cannabis ads out to the public. You know, and that's like a dream come true for me. So that's why I'm in the industry. I've been here for a while, and I'm here to stay.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that, Katie. I haven't been able to share my story too many times, but seeing how we're going to connect being in the Michigan markets, I found cannabis during a pretty severe injury when I was playing football, actually. I wanted to, you know, play at a higher level, and unfortunately, one time during a game, I decided to take a punt return, which I never did in my career ever. And that tackle ended up herniated a couple of discs in my back, and dislocating my left hip. And so it was a pretty interesting journey, you know, not being able to feel my leg for about 9 days and having to learn, you know, basically to use both of them in unison again. So, you know, didn't really consume too much during high school because I was really focused on the sports aspect of it. But, you know, after I really, you know, got injured and had a terrible pharmaceutical experience with some of the drugs that they gave me, I went into cannabis because that was the only thing that could give me relief and, you know, help me get through the day. So it's been an incredible journey over the last 16 years, you know, originally starting out as a medical patient and meeting so many, just so many wonderful people across the world. You know, now being in a fortunate position to, you know, run a couple of companies and, you know, create some really nice products for, you know, cannabis flowers for people to consume. So, yeah. Definitely interesting how the synergy is with sports, and I'm excited to see how we can work together in the future. That's really cool. I appreciate you sharing that today, Katie. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your story. It's definitely nerve-wracking to tell your story sometimes, but I think it's important that we normalize sharing our stories, right? Because that's how we break the stigma of like cannabis use among professionals, and we normalize it, and that's how we change the world, really.
There's some places in the world that aren't as fortunate where they can, you know, live like a cannabis and do this. They usually have to kind of pick cannabis and live in another lane. So I'm interested to hear about other people's experience in regards to that, because I know that's definitely the case with some folks here today.
Absolutely. I wonder if, Katie, thank you so much for sharing that as well. And Corey, thank you too. It's always... I think it's interesting to hear how many people have a background with cannabis and coming into it from a therapeutic use, because we have quite a number of people who say they also use cannabis recreationally, but maybe in that first instance, it was in a situation where you had to manage pain, or even for some people, it's going through certain things and using cannabis to manage anxiety and depression, and from then on realizing how you can use cannabis as a benefit. I really love always finding out where the love and the passion comes from, and when you really hear how much of an impact it's had on certain people's lives, I feel like for those who are less educated about cannabis, or for those who haven't had that experience, mm-hmm. they can definitely start to empathize a lot more, because if you start to consider a family member, both of you mentioned as well, you know, therapeutic, regular drugs that not anybody wants to take, and if you're thinking of it, especially from a family member sense, I think even those that aren't yet that open to cannabis will still prefer their family member to go down that path rather than mm-hmm. have to suffer and go through opioid treatment that may end up with them being addicted to it in the end. It's really difficult topics to talk about sometimes as well, but yeah, I'd love it if somebody else is also in the room who wants to really share a story and put it out there as to why they're in the industry.
I can also jump in and take my how I entered into cannabis and how I got introduced to it. And I did, now I'm 24 and I didn't touch cannabis or didn't get in contact with it before I was 18 and a half. I smoked my first time. Before that, I've been doing more or less all sports like ice hockey, MMA, bandy, football, ski jump, skiing, twin tip, snowboard, all these different things, been quite active in my younger days, but came into cannabis and my ADHD, my vision to alcohol, everything changed. I could finally relax a little bit, didn't have to be on top speed 24/7, and my focus got a lot better, so I could actually get into focusing on certain tasks, and yeah, I started Norway's first cannabis brand in 2019 with Mr. Q here, and early after we met Liam in Amsterdam when we contacted a coffee shop with our organic hemp papers that we wanted to sell in coffee shops in Amsterdam. And we met Liam, and We have been making Norway's first cannabis brand, and now we have over 300 medical cannabis patients in Norway. And yeah, keep working.
Hey guys, David up here. So I've lived in the UK all of my life. As some have said, it's been quite a sort of an awkward country to grow up in and sort of being a cannabis user. I kind of was first introduced to it in my teenage years. I found it helped with stress and sleep and anxiety, kind of fell into using it and sort of became more recreation at the time. But then sort of as I grew up, I developed an injury. I ended up having spinal surgery twice. I'm now sort of been left with spinal stenosis and sciatica and other things with that, and find a lot of relief with cannabis for the back pain and the sciatica. THC definitely helps. But throughout my life, I kind of had to live a double life because over here it's really frowned upon. I had to hide it from my parents and my family, and even some of the relationships that I was in. My girlfriend sort of never knew that I was smoking it. So it's quite difficult living that double life for so many years. And it's only now in the last couple that I've kind of been able to be a bit more free with it. And my parents are aware of it, and I've sort of explained I've explained to them how it's, you know, how important it's kind of been in my life. And they were kind of shocked at first, but they're now actually using CBD and CBG for their arthritis and Parkinson's. So, you know, the tables have certainly turned for me. So I just thought I'd sort of throw that in there. I'm now in the industry helping people, you know, develop businesses in cannabis, helping people develop products and ideas. And I'm sort of in this for the long haul. So, but yeah, sort of share that with you guys. David, and I'm done speaking.
Thank you, David, for sharing that. Really appreciate that one. So, yeah, like I was saying, it's always interesting to hear where that's really coming from. So many people have a deep connection with the plant, and communicating it to family members is, we have that as a topic as well, I think, a couple of episodes ago. It's one of the most difficult parts, but seeing how it can help people and really explaining it to them from that front and just completely taking away the stigma and approaching it from this helps me because of this. I think it's the approach that a lot of us have got to start to take.
Listening to his story hits home a lot. And I'm just wondering how he was even able to keep it up, because I know that, what area are you in, David? Might you repeat the area you're from?
I'm in the United Kingdom.
Exactly, that's what I thought. And I know that the laws are a bit different, so I'm just wondering how you are able to keep up with it just for the relief, because I have a similar situation, but at least here in the U.S., it was medically, it was available, but, you know, I'm not a smoker. I like more of the oils and the edibles and things of that nature, because I also had, you know, hip surgery, and it caused sciatic pain. So I know exactly what type of pain that you're talking about, but I was just interested to know how you were able to, you know, get your supply, because I know the laws are a bit stricter. And, you know, even though I've heard that there are some patients that use it, it's still a bit taboo and not easy accessible. So I just wanted him to elaborate on that.
Yeah, well, it was available to me, you know, from the street. So obviously at that time, I didn't have such an understanding of it, but I just knew that it felt right using the stuff. But, you know, going back to what you said about, you know, living the life and stuff, I ended up becoming quite, in a way, reclusive and, you know, having quite a small group of friends, because you really kept it as a secret. You didn't want to be judged. And because of this sort of the way I, you know, how I was at school and the jobs that I ended up doing, the life I ended up in, I kind of ended up in a bit of a corporate life. So you had to hide it there as well. And I kind of ended up working in education. So again, you had to hide it. So, you know, suppression for years of just And that created guilt because so many people frowned upon it. You couldn't be yourself, and that made you feel guilty, which then led to, you know, depression and things like that and anxiety, which is kind of counterproductive because the plant helps with that sort of stuff. But yeah, it was quite difficult. But I'm just glad now that the space is opening up and that people are being a lot more, you know, transparent and open about this use of the plant. So all those problems are, you know, gone for me. But I know that there are still a lot of people out there that are still hiding behind closed doors because they've got to. You know, employers are still doing drug tests. So there's a lot of people that are still, you know, living double lives. It's really difficult for them.
Yeah, because I know a few people that suffer from autoimmune diseases like MS or fibro and even lupus in the United Kingdom. And I tell them this is what helps me. And they're like, well, they can't get their hands on it in the UK. So, yeah. And, you know, it's kind of dangerous also getting it from the outside, not really knowing the type of quality. But I'm glad that, you know, you didn't get anything that, you know, was laced with anything because that's the fear of, you know, getting bad weed, basically. So, yeah, thanks for sharing your story.
No problem. Well, I guess it's been difficult to know the quality that we have been getting over here for these years, you know, because the conditions that these plants are grown in, you know, you see them in the news all the time being taken down by the police. And they're grown in houses with poor ventilation, sometimes in lofts where there's probably a lot of dust. People may not be flushing the plant properly. So, and now we've got all this PGR stuff that's hitting the streets. So, you know, there's a lot of education to put out there in the United Kingdom, but we have had medical cannabis for a few years now, but it's just the accessibility. There's not a lot of people that are actually getting access to it because of the amount of doctors that are supporting it. So it is available, but it's not as easy to get at the moment as other countries. So, you know, there are people over here doing a lot of work for that. So, you know, I think we're probably 6 months to a year away of, you know, really getting on top of the medical supply, fingers crossed.
I pray that you guys really get it going to push legislation to change that because a lot of people are suffering. And, you know, having a pharmacology background, you know, knowing what I know now about the plant, like I'm highly disappointed that it's been taboo for so many years because it's actually a miracle plant. In itself. And, you know, we've been told it's bad and it's been demonized for years. And it's funny, I have a story when I was in high school and a girl that I knew, she was asthmatic. And, you know, she would smoke weed all the time. She's from Trinidad. And she's like, oh, this helped me breathe. And I looked at her like she was crazy. It was around the same time I was diagnosed with lupus. And I wonder, had I even taken that path? Maybe the surgeries and the side effects from all the pharmaceutical drugs wouldn't have been. But again, we were told, do not do drugs. And, you know, weed is bad for you. It's the gateway. It's been, you know, it's been a taboo. It's been demonized. And that's not the truth. It's not the truth. It took a Rastafarian, I think 2010. And he showed me a video. There's a doctor, cannabis doctor in the U.S., but he's no longer in the U.S. because, you know, once you're kind of making it known the healing properties, they do come after you. They make your life miserable. And he was a huge advocate. William Courtney showed me a video of his current wife, then that was his patient. You know, she had severe lupus, even more severe than my situation was. And he was just having her juicing the plant with, you know, fruits and vegetables, and it healed her. And it took me seeing that video for me to do my own research and realize, nah, we've been lied to for years. And so I'm always encouraging people about how powerful it is and how many things it treats. You know, being in these rooms, you hear so many stories and you get to know more of the different treatments that this plant can, you know, make people's situation better. And it's just amazing. I'm just sitting back and I'm like, you know, when is this going to change? You know, America has come far, you know, but even in New Jersey right now, even though we are recreational, there's still limits. You can't grow. They haven't passed legislation for us to even grow. But in DC or California, you're allowed to grow plants in your house. So it's like, even though they have legalized it and it's recreational, there's still a lot of, you know, limitations. And it's an expensive plant to buy from a dispensary. Because that's the thing. You don't want to just get it from any old body because you don't know how they're growing it. Because once pesticides and all these things come to account, it kind of changes the chemical compound of it. So, yeah. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for sharing. And happy to be in the Cannabis Maker again. Hi, Liam, David, Corey. Nice to see you guys again.
Hey,
for you who don't know me, I'm Anya. I work out of Victoria, British Columbia. I'm founder and editor-in-chief of Flush Magazine, a literary cannabis magazine focused in creatives and art and telling the story behind cannabis brands. I love what we're talking about here. One of my favorite rooms always, because we talk about the plant in the global scale. We talk about how the state of the plant in so many countries. And I feel that this is the most important thing, is keeping in check with everybody, and because this cause is what unites us all. And at the end of the day, my background is I studied and I worked for years in human rights and human rights advocacy. And when I decided to make this career jump into the cannabis industry, it was just so... it came natural to me. It came as the answer to human rights. I feel that the cannabis plant and all of you like Nala and David lastly made this exact point, is that it should be a human right. It's a patient's right to be able to access the best of medicine that is out there, or at least to be able to have all options on the plate without all these hurdles. And if we go back to the history of cannabis, we realize that it's just all a political and racial fight, and it's been a racial attack at the end of the day. And when we realize that, we understand that it is unfair, and we have to amplify all these voices and make the rest of the population understand that this stigma is built around something that has no real no real merit. Really, it's just built on politics of the time, and it reflects that still. And it's very sad to know that around the world, even of course from lawmakers, but to the end consumer and medical patient, we have a big gap in education and in understanding. And I feel that not only science, I always say that. That science and the doctors and the pharmacists and the ones with scientific background have to speak, but also the patients. It's so important. The personal experience is literally the trials that we are all conducting. So I'm so happy to be in this room. You can ask me anything. I'm a consultant in the space, so I will try to bring my input into this discussion. Thank you, and I'm done speaking.
Hey, Anya, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us. Really, really appreciate you being part of the space. And really like hearing as well what you're doing. And I think as well for everybody in the space who shared their story, thank you so much for being open about it, for approaching it the way that you are, and for being part of the movement. Yeah, I really, really appreciate it. I'd love to hear a bit of an origin story from Willie and what he's up to in the industry and why you're here now today. Sir, welcome in.
Origin story, huh? Well, you know, I started growing cannabis in about 2009, you know, very poorly, I think in like 2007, but I didn't I don't count those. But yeah, no, I started growing with my dad in a clandestine grow room behind a false wall in our basement in about 2009. And, you know, it started out as him teaching me. And then, you know, I kind of became obsessed with it and started, like, you know, doing things that were, you know, I kind of took over the grow room. And so, yeah, my dad had epilepsy. So I was kind of responsible for, you know, just running that small little 400 watt grow for about 5 years. And then, you know, haven't really done too much constant indoor growing since then. It's been a lot of sporadic tent grows and you know, helping people stand up home grows and a lot of outdoor growing. I do consider myself a pretty decent outdoor grower at this point. And yeah, so I've always just had a really healthy interest in cannabis. And, you know, I did the typical, went to college, studied business, graduated, and didn't really know what the fuck I wanted to do. Got a job in technology sales and, you know, was selling IT outsourcing services to pharma companies for a few years, which was okay money, but not really like that entertaining or meaningful. So, you know, I decided to take my career sales experience and see if I could blend it with, you know, just kind of this interest I've had in cannabis for, you know, most of my adult life. And yeah, quit my job and joined a company that didn't really pan out so well in the controlled environment agriculture space. It was one of those companies that does the pre-built shipping container grow boxes, and kind of was in that space for a little bit, and recently started my own company to act as a channel sales partner for ancillary products and services that are focused on the cannabis industry. Currently, our client and, you know, the product I'm selling is digital electricity power distribution systems, feeding LED grow lights, and there are some other applications and products that are coming out that are going to complement this system as well in the climate management space. But yeah, at this time, I'd say that's kind of soup to nuts, who I am, what I've done, and what I'm currently doing.
Yeah, thanks, Willie. I appreciate you sharing that one. Really, thank you so much. Give a quick shout-out for our listeners who might be listening in on the podcast, where they can find you and get in touch with you if they want to get in business.
I live in Boston, and I spend a lot of time in Vermont. You can find me on LinkedIn. I go by Will Sheets on LinkedIn, WILLSHEETS. And my company is New Spectrum Partners. If you want to check us out on our website or Instagram, you can find either of those through my Clubhouse account.
Awesome, Willie. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate that. I see we got Damar back in the room as well. What's up, Damar?
I'm Damar Grant, editor-in-chief at CGRU.ca. You know, I'm here in Canada, so marijuana has been legal here, has been legal here for multiple years now. So it's kind of just, it's really interesting to meet people in the cannabis industry because they're more prolific right now. Like, they're definitely more visible, and to see the professionalization of cannabis has been kind of a wonder to see firsthand. This is, like, I think this is one of the first, this is one of the first times I've able to see an industry from start, from like its very, very, very start. And like, I have like a point in time where I can point to, it's like, yeah, there was this time it went legal and then a bunch of companies started sprouting up. And I don't really think I can really point to that in any other sort of industry personally. I'm 26, so I'm pretty young. So I'm not, you know, telecommunications has always existed for me. The internet always existed for me. I did see the beginnings of social media, but this is like the first time I'm really, really seeing a specific industry start from the ground up.
Yeah, no, I can agree with you on that one, Damar. You don't have to, yeah, 26 is young as well. I'm 23 myself, and I feel like the industry is it's been there for a while, and there's definitely been people working in this for longer than I've been alive, times two, who have been around doing this and making a difference and really, yeah, have enabled and paved the way for us to be sitting here today having these conversations on these platforms, who maybe are then also having those people on their staff who are part of this generation, who have an appreciative sense for the plant, who have seen firsthand how this has gone. And I think what we're seeing really is a wave of that generation come to certain positions where they're just able to exert more of their passion and their opinions and their experience and share it with the world, as Katie and Anya were both saying as well, coming in and being able to have a conversation with people from all over the world, having people from Canada, from the States, from Scandinavia, from Europe, from, you know, just having them all in the one place and being able to have a conversation with hearing all these stories is definitely something special. And I'm definitely honored myself as well to be able to hear these stories from you guys. So I really, really appreciate it.
About legalization in Canada, when it happened, was almost nothing changed, which was very funny to me considering political opponents to cannabis legalization trying to sell like the end of the world. But nothing really changed. Well, the only thing that actually changed was like older people that I knew or got to know were much more open with their cannabis usage. But other than that, like I had friends, you know, that smoked and it wasn't a big deal. It's a bigger deal in my circle of friends. It's actually kind of a bigger deal to be smoking like cigarettes than it is to be smoking weed. So it was, to me, it's just like interesting to see how like nothing changed really, other than it was just more openly done, but it was already happening here. Like, Canada is one of the most lax places when it comes to cannabis. So it was just very interesting to see overall.
I think it's dope to hear how you say in that way that nothing changed, and how you can have a whole industry that's kind of already there. I mean, I'm just going to take it from my perspective, because I grew up in Ireland. I went to school in the UK. I started consuming a little bit of cannabis when I was in the UK, and then mainly when I was in Germany. And from a therapeutic standpoint, when I was, let's say, I went to a doctor and got put up a long list of medications, and then kind of like, okay, you start with the lowest one, and soon after I realized this is not the good route to go down. Let me instead smoke more cannabis, because that actually seems to help a lot more. And then being in a country where that just doesn't evolve in any sense, this was like 2015, 2016. Even then in Germany, it was very difficult to get medical cannabis. And that just, you know, I said, fuck it, why am I going to live here? I moved to Amsterdam, and after about a year of living in Amsterdam, maybe 6 months, I started working in a coffee shop. And for me, that was one big fucking change, because I went from allegedly having given weed to people on the street to handing it to them over the counter in a legal tenderized sale. And that to me was just out of this world, to be able to transition in a neighboring country, right? This is like where I started to understand how it can be in the States when people cross from one state to another and all of a sudden it's legal. Because what got me arrested, or what could have got me arrested in one country and led me to losing my license in another country, was totally legal and ended up being my job. It's what I sustained myself from. I was making my income and paying for everything from selling cannabis at a coffee shop. And that transition, I feel, is something that to me just opened up my eyes to how situational differences in these countries. You know, we had people traveling from all over the world to the Netherlands to try and buy weed in a coffee shop to even get some medical benefit from it, because that was one thing that they had come to as a last resort, was like, yeah, I gotta fly somewhere and try some weed somewhere else. And just, yeah, hearing all these stories of where people are coming into the industry, that's a really moving topic.
Nothing changed, I meant in the sense of like the doomsayers, because there are definitely doomsayers when it comes to the cannabis industry, where they say, you know, like society would be falling apart if it happened. But that's what I mean when it got legalized here in Canada, like the sky didn't fall, you know, everybody's computer didn't just explode when it hit 12 a.m. So that's what I meant. I totally understand, like, for people, you know, for mental health reasons, or for even actually physical health reasons,
right, or you know, societal reasons. So, like, if your interactions with the law, then that can actually lead to an immense change. And you know, I've seen that firsthand with just people. You know, I've seen that firsthand with elderly people, with young people, that there can be immense change on that that individual basis. But when I say nothing changed, I was definitely talking about like doomsayers to the society. Like, everything is going to collapse when this becomes legal.
Yeah, I can give a quick abbreviated story because what's that term? Statute of limitations isn't necessarily up on all of it. But I started my first contact with cannabis was when I was 18 and a half about. And, you know, for me, all the stories of how cannabis has helped people with physical injuries has been very inspirational, and I do not have a story like that. For me, I started using it purely recreationally, but what I discovered from really the first time that I used it was that it really helped this new term I recently learned, with my broad autism phenotype. And, you know, for me, cannabis use has always helped me with anxiety, and you know, specifically one way that it helps me professionally is it helped me get past writer's block. So I remember back in the day, because I grew up in, started smoking in Virginia, and very much still under the prohibition, not anymore, thankfully. But back then, whenever I'd pick up, I had no idea what it was. You know, the dealer would give you a specific name, and you'd go onto Google, you'd Google that name, and you'd realize that that's probably not a real strain name. But I still remember that process. In 2018, I started my website, The Highest Critic, and just to kind of put real information out there that's Googleable for people to find out what kind of products they have and to hear from people that have tried the exact products from, you know, the grower, the breeder, so on and so forth. And even, you know, if the specific location that something is found doesn't match up with something else, at least they'll know, you know, Blue Dream in my area is hitting this way, whether it's really Blue Dream or not. My name is Caleb, and I'm done speaking.
Hey, thanks for sharing, Caleb. I appreciate that. Well, folks, it's been okay, let me try that again. Well, folks, it's been a wonderful episode 9 of the Cannabis Maker podcast. We've had some wonderful little shares and collections of origin stories and what's moving people and why they're here and joining it in the industry today and what's really keeping them going and where they've got their eye. I really appreciate everybody for joining today. It's been a wonderful session. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time on the Cannabis Maker podcast.
The Cannabis Maker podcast is hosted by Nordic Herb Zone and WeCan. Nordic Herb Zone is Norway's first cannabis and hemp brand and makes the world's best organic hemp rolling papers. Get in touch with us today to discuss wholesale and distribution options for the world's best organic hemp papers with the slowest burn and the smoothest taste. NordicHerbZone.com. WeCan is one of the UK's leading providers of digital services, development, business, and marketing tools for your cannabis business. It includes digital marketing, SEO, web design, e-commerce development, web hosting, digital marketing, branding, advertisement, wholesale and distribution, and consultancy and business development. Head to WeCan.uk today to find out more.